Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Leroy Allen, and I am the host of the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show. For those of you who are joining us for the very first time, our mission statement is to enhance the lives of its listeners with power-packed information and resources that ultimately make one's life better. If you would like to contact us for comment or questions, you can email us at lifeenhancement@lifeenhancementconsultinggroup.org. At this very time, I would like to introduce my special guest, Mr. Tyrone Best. He's an entrepreneur, he's a husband, he's a father, and along all those things, he's also a friend who everybody who come in contact with him. Tyrone, thank you for joining the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show. How you doing, man? Hello? Hello, Ty?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We're on air right now. So I would like to take this time once again. Excuse us for the mix-up, but I would like to take this time once again to introduce our special guest, Mr. Tyrone Best. He's an entrepreneur, he's a husband, he's a father, and along all those things, he's a friend who to everybody who come in contact with him. Tyrone, thank you for taking the time to join the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well.
Great.
Good. Man, once again, before we get started, man, I do want to say Happy Father's Day to you as we are quickly approaching that day, and you and I in particular, as every other man, has earned the right to be able to talk about Father's Day and how important that is for us to, or how important it is, should I say, for us to stand with our families and stand with our children at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Tyrone, for Or rather, should I say, within the African-American community, it has been widely covered that as men, we can make a child, but we lack the maturity to raise a child or even stand by our families. So much so that in certain contexts, in particular in this one that I'm speaking now, it is said that any man can make a baby, but it takes a real man to raise a child. And I happen to be one, whenever I hear this, I take somewhat of a dislike to it. Tyrone, tell us, what does it mean to have the love of a committed father?
The love of a committed father. Wow, they're great words. The love of a committed father, I'm going to say, he will be relentless. He will be consistent. He will be understanding. He will be a teacher. At times, he has to be patient. He has to be observant. He has to be a protector of his family. He has to be an extractor of fears from his children. The love of a committed father will take tears. It will also bring hurts. It'll bring much laughter. And also, to go along with all of that, it's going to be a great number of mistakes. Oftentimes we think that being a committed father is all peaches and creams, or we look at it from afar to think that it's peaches and cream, but it's not. None of us. Own the dictionary, the encyclopedia, online, Google. We don't own that in regards to being a father. That is learned, totally learned. And that's where we got to move towards, just understanding, paying attention, watching, listening to other men who are, in our mindset, committed fathers. And then we have to look at the main father, the main committed father. And in my opinion, the main committed father is God himself.
Very good. So being a committed father, is a learned behavior. Because, as you said, we didn't look at a book. We didn't read the book, a book to know. Our information came by way of a model of a successful father. So that makes it a learned behavior. And if, in fact, that it's a learned behavior, that's more of the reason or one of the reasons that I dislike when it says that within the African-American community, we as men can make a child, but we lack the maturity to raise a child or to stand by our families as a whole. So in return, it makes it look to me that I'm being questioned. But yet, there is no book. There is a model. And a model only comes if a model has a presence. But if there is no presence, then I got to go with what I know.
Yeah.
And that could very well be me just getting up in the morning, going to work, paying the bills, making certain that the child or the children have shoes, have clothes, but at the same time, I miss certain elements in their development that says that, hey, if nothing else, I should have been taught how to do a particular thing, but I wasn't taught. And so, therefore, how can you say that I lack the maturity to stand up for my family?
I'm
to me, that cannot be said. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Lee. In regards to it, I think being a committed father, too, one has to learn that he has to look at himself. He has to look at his father. He has to look at his grandfather. At least he should. That would help to give him a picture of who he is and what he comes from. Some of us in our community, man, at least in the area that I grew up in, there weren't many fathers there on a regular basis. Partly because of the system itself too, within that realm.
Okay.
But I say that some fathers, for certain reasons, they just weren't there. Okay. So, for instance, all right, let me just be upfront and no chaser. That's the way I am. That's the way I've been. So, I don't
mind. Of course. Of course.
Use myself as an example. My father wasn't there for me growing up. I loved him. Loved him dearly. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there because of some of the other obstacles that he had to endure. Back in the 70s, 80s, it was a drug trade going on. So a lot of our fathers fell prey to the, you know, the drug game, the drug epidemic that was taking place. So
sure. This
is, they were using that to mask something. As a little boy, I didn't recognize that my dad didn't have his father. But as a man, when I recognized it and I saw it and I heard it and I talked to other people who knew him, which was a good guy, good man, but he didn't have the guidance to be the best father that he could have been. And all of that anger from childhood up into adulthood had stayed with me for a while. I was mad because I didn't have my daddy. I wanted him. I needed him. I wanted to hear his voice, but he wasn't there. So I carried all of this anger, and I believe that's partly part of the community at times with our boys. They're angry because they don't have what it is that they feel as though they need within a father at times. So for me, I grew up like that. But as a man, now looking back at my childhood and at my father, I had to come to realize that my dad didn't have a father. I don't think my dad had a father from the age of 9 on up. I'm not exactly sure about the age, but he didn't have it. So how can I really hold him hostage totally to him being a father to me and understand that I needed what he never got?
Absolutely.
And then we have to look at the fact, well, why would a man choose drugs for several different reasons? But what if my father chose it because he didn't have a father? And he felt like he was, insecure in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
So now I had to take revamp this thing and look at this thing. Wait a minute. How can I hold him captive to something that he didn't get, that I didn't get? See, now all of the responsibility now comes to me. I now have to want to do better and be better.
Absolutely.
I have to seek out a model. I have to look for a model that's better so that I can grab hold on to what I need for my children.
Absolutely. 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 I agree with what you're saying because I believe that as a father, you're not just a father to your children, but you are a father to a lot of children who are in need of a male figure in their lives who understands integrity, who understands the value of relationship. And when there is a man in front of them that says that I am a model of what a man looks like, then that man has portrayed an image, and that image comes across to that little boy or that little girl as this man is my hero. Michael Jordan is not my hero. Charles Barkley is not my hero. Or no one else. This man is my hero because he has given me something that my father did not give me. And he has given me something without charging me to have it. Yeah. With that being said, Ty, the next question is, what kind of advice can you give to a father who is a part of a blended family? I, myself in particular, share this level of parenthood, in that as a single father, I came into a blended family with a wife who decided that she was going to embrace my children as if as though they were her own. And I celebrate her more times than enough for doing so because I recognize that she didn't have to do that. So Tyrone, talk to us about what kind, or give us the kind of advice and encouragement as it relates to a blended family.
Well, in regards to a blended family, one, the advice I would recommend to a father would be to have a dialogue with your wife or your significant other. That's very important, upfront, straightforward. A straight, honest, truthful dialogue about the way you grew up. When you talk about the way you grew up, she will get a sense of, for the most part, what your values are. And vice versa, you have to listen to her in regards to how she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully speaking, that dialogue is so, so rich when we listen to one another and how we grew up, because if we don't, the father will be playing a drum and the wife will be playing a different drum. Her expectations will be different from yours, and the beat of the household will be noisy. It will not be unison. It will not be harmonious. And that's the most important thing that I think needs to be done. Me, myself, my wife has accepted my children. It's three of them, three children. And we're right now we're looking at 16, 18, and 21. And,
okay.
That is major in regards to children. Well, I mean, we've been together 14 years, so they were younger when we got
absolutely.
Together.
Uh-huh.
However, when it comes down to it, she accepted that role, that responsibility. And I commend her for it.
Absolutely.
But with it, she and I had conversations, and we've made our share of mistakes. No question. And any blended family will have mistakes. Even a committed
absolutely.
Father, committed mother, the mistakes will be there. However,
absolutely,
communication between us two, once we seen the mess, or there was a mess, we had to clean it up, and we had to communicate. We had to talk. We had to get down to the nitty-gritty with the truth of the matter, not being afraid to have the conversation, but to be open, straightforward about what it is that we both saw and what it is that we both see. And
absolutely,
that's how we got through so many different issues. The third thing that I would recommend is talk to as many blended family couples as you possibly can. And
mm-hmm.
the reason why I say that is because either they are experiencing the same thing, they're experiencing a similar thing, or they're experiencing a total different thing. However, you learn no matter what conversation you have with another blended family. You learn
mm-hmm.
either not to do it or you learn to do it. And I think that's
absolutely.
Those three are the major pieces to, you know, a blended family.
That's very, 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 very well said, Tyrone. I really don't think that you could have said it any better than that. Communication, whether it's a blended family or not, communication is what make the relationship whole. And if that is to be the case, that we're looking for wholeness, but we abandon the level of communication that should transpire between husband and wife and child or children, then what we do is we put the children under what I call arrested development. And if they have to embrace arrested development, when they do something that does not reflect wholeness or does not reflect the value of your household, you don't have nobody to blame
yes.
but oneself.
That's correct.
Nobody to blame but oneself. And moving on to the next question, what role should a father play in his child's life or children's lives when it comes to a relationship with God? Not a gospel religion, but a relationship. Help us with that.
Yes, yes, yes. I think us as committed fathers, you have to understand that your child sees God first in you. We are the child's provider. We are the protector. So he gets a chance to see love, which God is love. He gets a chance, or she gets a chance to see God in action through us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the relationship that we have, that we've prayerfully grown into as adults, having children, who would have now experiences to understand that God is the Father of all things and God is the blessing of everything. So our children don't have that. So in order for us to actually facilitate them into a relationship with God, we have to really be in tune with God ourselves. We have to be sensitive enough to hear his voice. We have to be sensitive enough to want to go to him. And in that relationship, that's what we will exude. We will exude, God, I need you. I can't do anything without you. And then your son or your daughter will exude the same thing because you have proven to them that you are worthy for them to come to because you have protected them in the past. You have been the provider in the past. You have been the guider in the past. You have been the structure for them in the past. No different than God himself. Our children are no more than this, and I'm not saying it negatively. I'm saying they are and will become us. We are and were them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just time's gone by. We're grown children. That's all we are. And
absolutely.
With that understanding, we have to recognize that they now have to grow. to get to the same place we are. So if we do not foster that relationship, if we do not read with them, if we do not pray with them, and then if we do not show them the results of the prayer, if we do not have dialogue and conversation with, this is a matter of, what, this came from what we did. Do you remember when we laid hands on you? Do you remember when we prayed for Grandma to get well and Grandma got better? We do say certain things. We have to point out the results from what God has done and what he is doing. If we don't do that, then my God, we lose the opportunity to foster our children into a right, good, pure, clean relationship with God our Father.
Absolutely. I so agree with you, and that is very well said once again. So your points are well taken, and as for the listeners, I truly hope that you come into the full knowledge of fatherhood and you come into the representation of God and how God wants you to do or wants you to be, should I say, as a father. Tyrone, can you name at least three things we can do to teach our sons how to love and respect our females?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. One, first and foremost, we have to be mindful that she is God's daughter. First and foremost. If we don't recognize and keep in mind that she is God's daughter, then we'll do anything. We'll hurt her. We'll curse her. We'll treat her as if she's not from him. And in doing that, we run the risk of damaging not only her, but damaging ourselves. Two, I would say, be mindful what we do to them. And three, be mindful what we say. Because in both instances, we as men can damage. And we can leave scars there that are so deep that we can't even imagine. And I think some of us have received the gift from God, which is our wives, that may have some scars from other men who did not know how to handle the gift.
Absolutely.
That God gave.
Absolutely. And so when we look at teaching our sons how to respect our women, the first woman that they come in contact with is their mother. So if we go back to one of the points that you made as it relates to being a model, open the door for our son's mother. Be extremely considerate of our son's mother, understanding that she comes from a place, and so do we. And as she comes from a place, that doesn't mean that she's not whole. That does not mean that she cannot complete you. What that means is that she had an experience, as we all have had an experience of some kind, whatever that experience is. There are some men who have been hurt. There are some men who have been used and abused. As there have been some females who have obviously embraced that pain as well. So what that says is that, to me, we are equal in what we go through. It's just that men seem to deal with it differently. So now, with that being said, that does not put us above them. It does not put them above us. What it says is that you have an experience. I have an experience. But most importantly, what did you learn from it?
Absolutely.
Moving forward. What advice, Tyrone, can you give to the listeners about what it means for us to teach our children how to dream?
Great question. One thing that I wanted to run back to and just reiterate when it comes to our children and teaching them, one thing that we need to also recognize and do, and I think you alluded on it too, Lee, is that we have to teach our children's friends also. That is so major. When we teach our children's friends, when I look at the overall picture, is that we teach the children how to handle. Excuse me, man. I'm trying to do, trying to think this thing through.
Take your time.
When you teach your children's friends, they're actually a guide for you when they're out and about. When you give the guidance to your own child, but yet their friends are there also, they'll get the same gist of what it is that you're saying. And sometimes when they're out in the mall or out and about, they will remind your child of what it is that, you know, your parents said. And I think that's so, I think it's just so necessary that we do it. Some parents don't want to parent another child or the friends of the ones who they'll be hanging out with, but that's necessary. And it's necessary so that the whole community grows and not just your child.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the getting to the other question that you said in regards to dreaming, I recommend to the parents, to the children, how to see themselves doing it, doing what it is that they want to do, their dream. See themselves in it. Actually, I believe we have to try to get them to have an experience in the dream. Not so much as being sleep, but an experience in the dream, in the life of it, in the tangible, being able to touch part of it in one way, shape, form, or fashion, to see oneself. We must also try to get to see them owning it. And we have to foster that definition to them, to give them all of the guidelines, all of the words, all of the understanding in regards to what it will take. You know, a lot of times we are on our phone and we're putting more attention to the phone sometimes, when it's always a good time to teach. It's always a good time to have that dialogue and have that conversation about the dream. But we in this culture now, and I understand it, in the electronic age, we're more on our phones dealing with Instagram and dealing with Facebook and dealing with all the other social medias, and sometimes we just forget to have the basic dialogue and conversation about the dream of our children. Some of us not even ask, what is your dream? Some of us not take the time, and I'm not downing anybody in no way, shape, form, or fashion, but we have to take the time to ask the question so that we can get the data. Without the data, we can't have a conversation about that because we don't know. And then when another parent or someone else comes along and asks the very question that we could ask, then we hear our children spitting out everything about the dream in which they had, and we're looking like, well, why didn't you tell me? And sometimes it's as basic as, well, why didn't you ask me? So we have to get into the mindset of, it's always a time to have dialogue. It's always a time to teach. And I understand our children. Our children, sometimes they do not want to hear anything we have to say. They are grown. They already know. I understand.
Right.
But you have to be relentless. As I said earlier, you have to be consistent, understanding, teaching, patient, observant, in order to get the data.
Absolutely.
How many fathers do that?
Absolutely. Tyrone, we are nearing the very end of our show. I want to thank you, man, for the pouring out of your spirit and of your heart. I am so greatly appreciated as it relates to that. And if I could just ask the listeners to do one thing or three things for me, it would be live hard, live long, but most importantly, live right. Thank you for joining the Life Enhancement Radio and Talk Show.